We're back with More Than Money on QR Calgary and here with Faisal. Faisal, you know, we got a new conversation here, and I think this is going to be an interesting one because we do a lot of planning, a lot of clients at the point of retirement where there is this point in time where there is a RIF come into the term. RSPs have to turn to RIF at a certain age, and it becomes a stressful time. People have to plan for that. We have to sit down with them, talking about lifestyle, talk about income. We're joined by someone who is an expert on this as well. I want to introduce Alex Laurent, Vice President and Director of Research, CD Howe Institute. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
My pleasure.
It is, you know, it's an interesting topic, and I know that you co-authored a report on RIFs at some tax changes. So maybe you can give us some highlights from that report.
Oh, the RIF report. Yeah, no problem. Yes, I also co-authored a few other reports on RSPs and on tax deferred savings generally. So I tend to know quite a lot in that topic. On RIFs, it's pretty simple. What we did two reports, actually, myself and the CEO at the CDO Institute, Bill Robson. And both report tells about the same message. Our first report was before the 2015 reforms federally, so we pushed for reforms on RIF minimal withdrawals in 2014, and we got the reforms in 2015, and the reforms don't go far enough, and that's why we published an update in I believe was 2019. So the message is that we model for a typical senior turning 71, a $100,000 RIF amount, and we model from age 71 to age 100, what would the minimum withdrawal be if that senior takes the minimum year after year with pretty safe investment returns, because as you know, when you get older, it's not necessarily time to take huge risk in your portfolio. So we assume a safe investment return, and we model what those RIF withdrawals would be. And the simple message is that in real terms after inflation, it's going down. So if you take your minimum withdrawal, your purchasing power in retirement is going to go down. And that's not ideal. You'd want it to be constant, because if you have a pension, that's the principle of a pension, indexed to inflation, of course. The principle of an index pension is that your purchasing power in retirement will stay pretty constant throughout your retirement years. And that's not what those RIF minimum withdrawals do. So our first message is that it should at least provide that constant purchasing power in retirement. And our basis for recommending that constant purchasing power in retirement is that when the minimum withdrawals were reformed in 1992, that was the rationale in the budget. The rationale was that it should mimic pretty much what a DB pension would do. And there was safe returns at the time. There was life expectancy, et cetera. So using the economic environment at the time, the government did calculate and re-redid the calculation. It was right. That pretty constant purchasing power in retirement, if you take the minimums up to that age, around age 91, 92, where really it increases a lot and it becomes 20%, where you see a huge decrease, but not before you get to that age. So that's recommendation number one. And if you give me 30 more seconds, I'll tell you very quickly what recommendation number two is. The thing is, their life expectancy changed, right? So now, if you're 71, you can expect to live at least 3 to 4 years older than in 1992. So why not making that the age where you convert, when you have to convert to a RIF, why not increasing that age to 75 or 74? Just to at least mimic like the same number of years, expected years that you're going to be drawing down on RIF that it's the same that it was in 1992. So that's the other recommendation. And also, because once you get to that age in the 90s where the 20% is the minimum withdrawal, then obviously like the value of your RIF starts declining a lot. Like after, like the value of your RIF will be almost zero just a few years after you hit that 20% minimum withdrawal rate. So like by changing the age also, you're just pushing forward this complete depletion by a few years as well, which should happen just by if we just want to respect the same rational of the changes in like 92.
Alex, if we just jump in there, let me just jump in there on that, because I've got a question about this. Why even have a minimum RIF withdrawal at all then? If we're worried about it matching a defined benefit pension plan, can we, and the Canadian has invested on their own, in their own accord, in their own decisions they've made with advice, hopefully along the way, why not just get rid of the minimum and let the individual figure out what they need on an annual basis? They can index that to inflation. They can decide to take it at 65, or they can defer it to never, and then it goes into their estate. Like, why do we even have to have a minimum at all if the government's still going to get their money sooner or later? So why not just get rid of it?
Yeah, exactly. This was our recommendation, to completely eliminate the minimum withdrawals, but governments will never go for that because they want their money sooner, like you just said. They want their tax money sooner, and also the the RSPs, like tax deferred savings, the rationale to allow that, it's that the money should be used for pension retirement purposes. And so that's why the government is rationalizing that there should be some minimum withdrawals. So absent complete, if we're not going to be completely eliminating the minimum withdrawals, our second best recommendation was to make the minimum withdrawals even lower, but also have an exemption, so that what we recommended in our last study was $8,500. So if your minimum withdrawal is $8,500 or less, you don't have to. You can keep it. Like you don't have to withdraw anything less than $8,500. Just so that you never get to that complete depletion of your RIF assets.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a big debate about the tax part of it. Anecdotally, from our perspective, being in the profession of helping people transition to and live in retirement, the probability that people don't touch their retirement income fund or their RIF is a small percentage of the whole population. So an $8,500 exemption amount, we understand that. But if you have a very low RIF balance, mm-hmm. and you need to live on the lifestyle that you were living right prior to retirement, you're drawing from your RSP/RIF.
Yep.
Very few of them actually have both RSP and TFSAs as Canadians. About, if according to my understanding, less than 25% of the population have all their money in RSPs and also have large amounts of money in non-registered assets as well. It's a small percentage of the population. So the population that you're trying to benefit here are for people who don't have a lot of money, meaning less than $250,000 in RSPs to help them. Is that fairly accurate?
There's a lot of heterogeneity among retired people. Some some households, and their best view sometimes as couples as well. And so some households have some defined benefit pensions. Some have more. Some have less. Some have enough. Some don't. Some have both RIFs and DB pensions. Some other people only have RIFs, and that's going to increase. Like in 10, 15 years, there's going to be a lot of people with substantial RIF assets. In percentage, it may look only like 20% of tax filers, but that's a huge number, because for a lot of tax filers, they do not need to have a huge RIF, because if you are an also member who's been earning in the 40 to 50,000 average income or less throughout your lifetime, Just the government transfers alone will give you $25,000 to $30,000 a year. I mean, you also have to respect the heterogeneity and the fact that people have different needs in retirement, because the purpose of a pension is to maintain your current standard of living while working in retirement.
Welcome to retirement planning, Rob.
Well, and this is perfect. This is exactly what we're going to be talking about. First of all, Alex, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate the input. We're going to probably bring you back and have more conversations about this, because we definitely need some adjustments in the policy that we have. Thank you for joining us today, Alex.
Thanks to you, and please reinvite me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to talk about RIF withdrawals, income, cash flow at our upcoming seminar. Rob, when is that?
You got it. Next one will be on Tuesday, December 3rd, 7 p.m. in person at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Here comes the issue. We're going into a big, big problem. About 1.2 million of us have a mortgage coming up for maturity. What do you do? Join us after the break on QR Calgary and More Than Money.